Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to the Heart of Love Radio Show with G. Wright.
The Heart of Love.
Ooh, yeah.
Radio Show.
Radio Show, yeah.
The Heart of Love.
The Heart.
Radio Show.
Radio Show. That's it, Keith.
Hey, how you guys doing? Yeah, we're going to get this right.
Trying to get it on
the big screen, but we couldn't, so we had to go back to the phone. Okay, sorry about that. How you guys doing?
All right.
Hey, this is something different, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
What's going on?
Let's see. Is that good?
That's perfect. That's perfect. You know, I appreciate you guys coming on like this. Yes, that's it right there. Now, for you guys listening,
okay.
This is G. Wright. We come on Tuesdays, starting Thursday nights from 9 to 10. And I have none other than my cousin's pastor. He's a pastor, Dr. Reverend. So I think I'm saying Dr. Reverend and Mrs. Keith Wright of He Is Sovereign Ministries.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
We're doing well, man.
And this is.
How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a good seat, you guys.
Oh, you're looking well, cuz, bro.
Thank you, cousins. And, you know, and first of all, I'm honored to have you guys on here. You know, like I said, they, we say co pastors?
First lady.
And I'm the first lady.
First lady.
The Psalms.
Yes.
Yes. The Psalms. Yes, of His Sovereign Ministries.
Yes.
And listen, these guys are like, you know, this is my older cousin. She's been my mentor all my life, and so they're like my mentors, you could say. And I just had to have them on because they give so much, so many words of advice and words of ministry, and about life and about issues. So I just had to definitely have you guys on. I apologize, it's been so long getting you guys on here.
Glad to be here, Greg.
Yeah.
Mom says. Yes. You know, I'm going to ask you guys, how did you guys get started with your ministry?
It's a question that we often ask ourselves. However, as you know, being a minister, ministry is a calling.
Right.
You know, it's something that's placed on your heart. And, you know, we had, Eureka had been in church all of her life.
Right.
And I had been around church all of my life.
Right.
And so we had something in common about knowing, you know, what church means and what it means to the community and to our individual lives. However, searching and finding an authentic voice in the community for the times in which we live right now. And so, while we were in church, while we were being parts of different communities, we found that there was something missing, and that was the authenticity to really reach hurting people.
Right.
People were in church all day long, all week long, all year long. Yet when you got to the workplace and you got into discussions about, hey, how life is going, or what's happening, we found that despite the many hours that they were hurting just like the world.
Mm.
And so He Is Sovereign Ministries was birthed out of the pain of, you know, we're just going through the motions and we're just playing church, but there's too many of us who are not recreating Christ, or what I used to say, representing Christ in the earth. And so we wanted to change that. And so from that pain, from those experiences, He Is Sovereign Ministries. And the whole idea about He Is Sovereign Ministries is to really, you know, there's a saying, Greg, that if you're going to represent Christ, you want to represent Him all times and all places, because for many people, you may be the only Jesus that they see.
Right.
And so you know, my mother-in-law brought me a set of hats that I, or caps that I wear now. One says that FBI, firm believer in Christ. Another one says CIA, Christians in Action.
Right.
Those hats, those messages remind me that we have to be in ministry 24/7.
Wow.
And while it's, and so that means it's everywhere you go. It's not just inside the church walls. It's everywhere you go, you should be representing Christ. And so that's the authenticity that we were seeking, and that's the authenticity that we represent. We want people to, you know, to feel welcome, to feel comfortable on the job, off the job, in the supermarket, wherever they might be, to know that, you know what, we're not ashamed of the gospel, and have a good time doing it, and sharing that message with other folks.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
That's all short
answer. That's a short answer. I want you to know, listen, I'm taking notes. I am taking notes, you hear me? I hope you guys are taking notes too. Hope you guys are taking notes.
I have it over here, yeah.
I know, right? I have mine right here. I got Michelle Sarah, she's watching, Ronald Smoot, your mom, my aunt Fanny, and ma'am, she says, hi, y'all.
Hi, y'all.
Yes, I'm glad everyone's coming through. Oh, for real?
Yeah, she worked with me at the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. A tremendous talent, a tremendous young lady, and just doing.
I think that's your tone of effort.
Tony Munker. Okay. Hey, Tony. I'm trying to get back to the Port Authority now. Pull some strings. Plug.
Plug. Hey.
What's your next question, cuz?
Well, your mother in law says, these are my babies.
That's our standard
plug.
We know that.
Right. You know, one of the things that really stuck to me was when you said ministry is all the time.
Yes, 24/7.
24/7. Because I think sometimes we forget that ministry is 24/7. I think sometimes we get to that thing of thinking it's just on Sunday morning.
Right.
Or when we threshold of the church, then we think, okay, now I'm in ministry. I can put that add on.
Right.
But you're always in ministry. Mm. You are always a minister. You are always representing Christ everywhere you go. You're always his ambassador. And so, like Keith said before, you might be the only Christ that somebody sees. And so you have to be cognizant of that all day, every day. And I think that's where we can get off track, and that's what causes people not to want to come to church and not want to be a part of it, because they are not seeing Christ all the time.
Right.
That's correct.
But everywhere we go, we represent him.
And here's the other thing to that perception, that only the pastor or the ordained minister or the deacon is a minister of Christ. And that was not what Jesus had. Jesus said to his disciples, you know, I want you to go into the whole world,
right,
and make disciples of men, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But too many of us, we look at our pastors, or we look at televangelists, or we look at somebody who is doing it full time as a profession, and say, okay, they're the ones who have to carry the burden of ministry. But that's not true.
Right.
And the best case example that we have before us is when we look at, and you've heard me talk about this before, you know, we have 535 people who represent the bulk of the U.S. government. There's 435 in Congress, the House, and the Senate. Actually, 435 in the House of Representatives, and then another 100 in the Senate. So those 535, they are a lot of folks who profess love and belief in Christ or in other religions. However, when they get up on the hill and we see how they act doing their full-time jobs, we don't necessarily get the sense that they're thinking about Christ, or they're thinking about the least of these, or they're thinking about the poor, or
right,
they're thinking about those who haven't yet to hear the message of Christ. And so too many of us we don't hold each other accountable for representing Christ. You know, we'll talk
right
about what a pastor or first lady or deacon,
right,
we don't hold them accountable. we have to, because guess what? All of us are ministers of the gospel.
That's right.
And all of us represent the gospel. And, you know, and that's why, you know, when you look, at 2 Chronicles 7:14, and the Lord is answering Solomon's prayer, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. He doesn't say if the pastors.
Right.
Or he doesn't say if the AMEs or if the Catholics or, you know, or if the Baptists. No, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from heal the land. And one of the things that is so important for us is to step up to that mantle and recognize the burden is on us to do what God wants us to do.
That's right.
Not what he wants the church to do, what he wants his people to do.
Right. I love how he said how he wants his people to do. And that big word that really stuck out to me was when you talk about accountability. It holds us all accountable because we want to hold those in leadership accountable, but we don't want to be held accountable to the same thing, to live that same way.
Exactly.
See, that's it right there. Now, you know, I got to tell you guys this. You see, I get this 24/7 for free. Their family. But just imagine hearing him preach when he does preach and when they're, you know, there are a whole bunch of things that God is doing right now in their ministry. And I'm excited about what God's going to do and what he's planning on doing for you guys with the Sovereign Ministries.
Yeah.
We're excited. I see Gloria Marsh. I used to work with her. Years ago, is watching. Melinda Fleiss is watching. Hometown, Melinda. We're making our way back to New Jersey. Let the family know.
It's going to happen.
Next question, guys.
You know, I wanted to talk to you guys about. It's amazing how God has brought you guys together and different things that you guys have done. Let's talk about shift it for a second to my cousin Sharika. Now, I don't have her CD because I've been playing it all the time, but this is where I made a copy of and put it on my wall, so I said, let me just bring this out. This is a cover of her. This is a picture of the cover of her CD, okay? Hanging in my studio, Call for a Purpose. What happened? How did that come about?
Oh, great. Well, you know, because you grew up in the same environment that I did.
Right.
With our moms. Singing, and every Saturday we kind of knew what we were going to be doing.
Right.
We were going to be at mom's house, and they were going to be rehearsing, and so, you know, we've been around music all of our lives. That was just the norm for us, and, you know, some of us could sing, and some of us couldn't.
Right.
But it doesn't stop the cousins that can't sing from singing anyway.
Right.
But we have, you know, it was discovered early that we have this gift and, you know, that it needs to be nurtured. And so somebody sponsored me to go take voice lessons at a music conservatory when I was younger. And then I went to Duke Ellington School of the Arts, and that was fun. And I met all these great people. And I was like, wow, I could really do this thing.
Right.
She could do it, too.
Yeah.
You know, so I traveled with Brown Clark and William Beckton and friends, and Keith Lee singers.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it was just so much fun. But the pull was still always to do things. I mean, I love church singing. I love choirs. I love praise and worship.
Right.
But I still had this one thing that I wanted to do for myself. I was writing music when I was little. I write these little songs that didn't make any sense, but I love them anyway. They make sense to me. And so I'm still getting songs, you know, as I'm getting older.
Right.
I'm like, you know, I really need to do something with these things. So
right.
I decided to go ahead and do my own project to see, you know, what it was like.
Yeah.
I wanted to get the feel. I had traveled with all these people who were doing CDs. Okay, so now it's my turn. And it was such a great experience. I'm glad that I did it. I have more CDs.
All right now.
But it was just something that it was just something that I really, really wanted to do. I probably don't have the desire to be this
Yeah, what's his name?
And she really did. We were at a memorial for a giant of a man.
Oh, yeah.
Reverend Joe Thomasberger, who almost every child of my generation knows him, and the generation before and the generations behind. Sister Eureka, she sang There's a Bomb in Gilead.
Oh, yeah.
And I've heard a number of people sing it, but the way she sang it, and she had such an angelic voice, the people in the entire church were just mesmerized. And I say that because she also has a song that a gentleman is working on producing now. And what's the name of the song?
It's called He Will Heal Our Land.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
And it's based on, and I'll tell you, when that song drops, and people play it with the background of what's going on in the world today, it's going to minister to a lot of people.
Yes.
A lot of people. And like I say, as she said, she's not like some folks who like to be out front.
Right.
Want to do all those things. But when that song drops, I think she's going to have to follow the leading of the Lord. I'll just put it that way.
Right. Yeah, but we definitely need that. We definitely need God's healing.
Our land needs healing.
Yeah.
Our land is in need of healing.
Yeah.
And those of us who represent, we have the answer, but we won't execute it.
Wow, that's
holding,
powerful.
We're holding back, yeah.
That's powerful. We're holding back.
Yeah.
Okay, now your mom says, first of all, Vance is like, yeah. Kevin's on it. I have Waddles, my friend Waddles.
Kevin.
Your mom says, she asked her own question. How did Call for Purpose come about? She wants to know how did Call for Purpose come about. What's up, cousin? Right.
and started recording it, and you know all the pieces just kind of fell together for that one. So that song is really, really special to me because that's the first song that I wrote that I sang public.
All right. So I got to say,
the song and the title resonates with all of us.
Oh yeah.
Because one of the major questions that we always ask. Why am I here? Why was I born? What am I supposed to do? And everyone knows that each of us is called for a purpose.
That's right.
And our job is, you know, I have a sermon that I preached a couple times called Do You.
Uh-huh.
Based on Romans. All of us have a purpose.
Right.
And once we link up and identify that purpose, that calling on our lives, it all comes together.
Absolutely.
And I have to say this.
I'm looking at Kevin, tell what he can say.
All right, Kevin. All right.
we'll let you rest.
I say this. When I was going through some of my... Oh, yeah, he can cook, too. I say this. When I was going through some of my hardest times, I listened to Call for a Purpose. And that definitely... That definitely spoke to my spirit and encouraged me during my roughest times, you know.
Yeah, because sometimes we just want to give up because we things get so hard and we forget our purpose.
Right.
We forget that God put us here for a
reason,
that nobody's an accident. You're not here by happenstance. That was God's divine will. He put you here for such a time as this. He placed in you what he needed. What this world needed to come through you, and sometimes things get so hard that we lose sight of that. But that song is a reminder.
Because this,
you know, Greg.
Yeah.
It's the and that's an important point for us to really sort of hone in on.
Yeah.
And I say that. I see Claudia's watch. Hey, Claudia. Hey, Vicky. competing in this society with one another. We are competing with somebody in the job, on the job, or in the church, and whatnot. And the truth of the matter is,
all right now,
the gift that you have is God's way of showing you your uniqueness. But
right.
the gift is not for you. It's not for, as I say, the gifts are not for your greed. You can make a whole lot of money off your gifts. There's nothing wrong with making money, but that's not the purpose of the gift. The gift is for the need of others.
That's right.
And
right, right.
When you think about it, when we think about it, we spend so much time trying to be someone else. And no one can be us.
That's
right.
No one can be us. No one else can be Gray. You are the best Gray that the earth will ever see. And so you might as well use everything that God has given you to be the best that you can be. No
That's
one can talk
right.
to being you.
That's right.
So we have to really get away from this whole idea of we're in competition. No, we're not in competition. We need to be in cooperation.
I love that.
We need to really be looking at how can this gift be used for the glory of God.
Mm.
And he's going to give the glory.
That's right.
Amen. Now I got to say this. Van says this. He said, I'm going to have to put your CD back in rotation, Eureka. And my mom says, high key to need it, service to others.
Aww. Hey, Auntie.
And your mama said, Jesus, speak, Lord. Yeah, I'm about to start screaming and hollering here. I love that. We're not here to compete. We're here to cooperate.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
There's space for everybody. Otherwise, God would have given us the gift that he gave us. Okay. So I can sing and you can sing. But does that mean we're going to reach all of the same people? No. Maybe
right.
there'll be people that you reach that I won't work.
Right. One of the things that always stuck out to me that you told me, and you guys who tune in, this is the Heart Love Radio Show. I have my cousins, the Wrights of He is Sovereign Ministries, on with me. And please share this video on your pages. But one thing I have to say is this. One of the things you used to say to me, and it always stuck to me, was that when we released our CDs, you said, it's not about reaching the masses. It's about reaching masses, but we're going to reach those people that God wants us to reach, who God wants us to reach.
That's right.
You know, whether it's
That's
global,
right.
you know, there are different type of artists for different things. Are we reaching that one person? Are we reaching the people we're supposed to reach?
That's
and,
right.
And that really helped me look at ministry in a different way, you know. And say, okay, those things I believe they're going to come to pass in due time. But
right.
we're going to reach those people, like you said, the ultimate goal is to share the gospel, you know, and allow God to use
right.
us.
Right, right.
And, you know, in a real practical sense, Greg, have you ever been in a room or in a meeting or even at a party and someone will say or make a comment, a general comment, and no one will respond to it, and then another person will come along and they'll make the same comment, and then everybody responds to it?
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a situation like that?
Yes, I have.
And it's not because the first person didn't make the comment with passion or with fervor, or they weren't clear and articulate. When someone else comes in and they say the very same thing, all of a sudden their antenna goes up because they are the ones to connect with those with those people. So there's someone who can speak into your life. There's someone who can encourage you. There's someone who can give you godly love, or how we used to say it in the community, tough love.
Right.
And there are other people who cannot do that.
Right.
And so there's nothing wrong with that. It just goes back to the point that all of us have a purpose. All of us have a lane. We're all here. I was saying, I tweeted out the other day, there was a writer who said, we are all ignorant, but just on different subjects.
Wow.
So that means that, you know, each one teach one, each one reach one. That's
right.
what we have to do. But we do it in a loving don't come out condescending. I know more than you. I know this, and you don't know that. No, you know, as your mother was saying, our job is to be in service to others.
Yeah.
That's our main job. How can we serve others?
Right.
When Jesus was given the
wow.
the least of these,
the least.
Our country, our world is so far removed from that.
Mm.
That we sometimes don't even talk about that anymore, except for Christmas and Thanksgiving. We, you know, get some canned foods together and a few blankets, and we act like we did something.
Right.
But the people are still hungry. The people
right.
are still hungry in January. They're still homeless in March.
Wow.
And so it's all about service to others.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a whole lot of money to do that. Do whatever you can with what you have.
That's right.
Amen. You know, you said a lot there. You said a lot there. I'm just enjoying this. I get this all the time, guys, with my family. And then my mentors, too. Your mom was saying, when we reach one person, the heavens rejoice. And she said, I love that. And your boy Vance, he tipped out the room. He said, enjoy the great positive vibes and spiritual blessing hugs.
Thanks, Cousin
Dan.
Okay,
Cousin Dan. Hey, Daniel. Danny is watching. Danny Ricardo.
Oh, okay.
He's a musician as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really is.
Now, man, we have to go to our cousin bro Keith.
Hey, Delphine.
Okay.
Spiritual oars
yeah.
for dark waters. You know.
Okay, so when you flip it around, can you flip it around? Because it looks like it's backwards.
I know, right? I can't flip it around.
Oh, okay.
I wish I could.
Okay.
Okay. I wish I could do
that.
I wish I could flip this around, guys, but it is often. But spiritual oars for dark waters. Christians successfully navigating the corporate world of work. You know, how did this come about?
Yeah.
It came about through my experiences in corporate America. And it was actually, I guess my older sister, Karen, passed away in 2006.
Right.
You know, one of the things she would always tell me is you have a gift. And it wasn't just Karen. It was other people in my family, and, you know, in high school and in college. So you have a gift to write. You have a gift to write. And she gave me, in the front of the book, you see a dedication there. She, you know, she gave me a little tiny typewriter. When I received a major promotion at work, this is, I want to say this is over 20 years ago, and she said, despite the fact that you got this wonderful promotion, I don't want you to ignore the gift of writing. So make sure, Keith, you take time to write. And so, I actually got it published 10 years after she passed
away,
in 2016. But the whole idea of the book, again, going back to what we were saying earlier about being authentic, is that, you know, you can get in the corporate environment and they'll do all types of things to change you, to rearrange you, to make you compete against your fellow coworkers, to do all types of things, chasing money,
right.
rather than really, as opposed to bringing out the gifts that you have that can help not only that corporation, but it could help the community as well. Love God, you could worship God, you could do well in corporate America. So I tried to lay the book out in such a way that whether it was someone who was just coming into corporate America or whether it was a seasoned person in corporate America, it could help them, you know, reconnect with their authentic self and be successful in the corporate environment.
Right.
Wow. You know, if you're wondering what am I doing, I am taking notes. Every time he talks, I'm taking notes. Every time he talks, I'm taking notes. You hear me? But
you know, I know that's right. It's a great book, and I've been in corporate America for 20 plus years, and it really did help me for America and the things that I needed to do, the adjustments that I needed to make in order to be successful and still, you know, walk in character, because that's a really big thing. That's who we are.
Right.
So so that I could still go in there and be a blessing to people, still represent Jesus in that environment, in a way that brings glory to God. And so the book was really, really helpful to me as well.
Because that whole thing about being authentic and being your authentic self, and being in a place where you know God wants you to be, you know, and being willing to step out, things you were telling me a couple years ago. Probably why you'd already written the book. You guys are already doing it. You guys are already...
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
You know,
there's another hometown friend, Steve Holmes. Hey, Steve. Just joined us.
Hey, Steve.
What's your next question, Cousin?
I know you have another book coming out, right?
Yes, I do.
Are you at liberty to talk about that? Well, when do you think it's going to come out?
So I am at liberty. It's a book that's based on my dissertation that I wrote. And the dissertation was about Dr. King, Ida B. Wells, and Black Lives Matter. So the genesis of Black Lives Matter. However, the book, the working title of the book is called Mustard Seeds in America.
Wow.
The growing faith of anointed or consecrated in the nation and the world, stand up and recognize that lynching needed to be stopped.
Mm.
And she was so good at her craft, traveling throughout the United States, traveling over to England. She made England look back at the United States and call into question the behavior that was going on with the excessive lynching of black men. And she laid it out very clearly. She said they're trying to say that this is all about black men harming white woman, a raping white woman. And what she said to the world was, this is about the insecurity of white men when black women start to build their own communities, open their own grocery stores, and all those things, when they start to compete on an equal footing, you know, right after slavery was over, during the time of Jim Crow and Reconstruction, and they would burn black stores, they would destroy black stores, and all these black men were getting lynched. Ida B. Wells almost single-handedly made the nation stand up, so much so that Carter T. Woodson, who is is rightfully called father of Black History Month, starting with Black History Week, he had called a meeting and had a number of folks come to address that very issue. Unfortunately, he didn't invite Ida B. Wells, so that was kind of a mark on him. But she was the frontier, or she was the pioneer who led that effort all across the United States. After her, when we think about economic segregation, we looked at political segregation, did all the things that kept us separated, it was Dr. King who led that effort to say, no, we're not going to be separate and unequal. We have the right to live as any other person on this planet, on this earth. And, you know, when you think about what he did at 26 with the Montgomery bus boycott that lasted for over a year and actually caused the Supreme Court to change the laws, the thing that we missed, and I'll try to address this in my book, the thing that was missed in that was Dr. King, however he wasn't focused on that, and if we had stayed focused on that, it's like, okay, you don't want us to sit next to you on your bus? If he had came away and said, not only do we, or we're not going to sit up in the back of your bus, but we're going to create our own bus system.
Right.
He would have really, really changed the landscape of
America. Yeah.
But that's for another time. Yes, there is another thing coming. It is my hope to get it out either this year or the first part of next year. But it really is about, let me say this, the backbone for Dr. King and the backbone for Ida B. Wells was their firm belief in the gospel. What I'm saying is that as they believed in the gospel, and as they remained their authentic self, they were able to accomplish great things for the glory of God.
That's right.
And I believe that's the same for each of us. When we find that thing that we're passionate about, and we do it all as unto the Lord, He's going to be pleased, and people are going to be blessed, and you're going to be fulfilled.
Amen. I have to say this.
Amen.
Amen. My friend Renee says hello, and still got family coming through and sending their love on both sides. My family is coming through.
Yeah, I see Larry Thomas. That's my jazz cousin.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
You know, I want to ask you this question. You're talking about your authentic self, right? Let's say if someone doesn't understand that concept of find their authentic self. Can you explain to them, to everyone, what are you talking about when you say your authentic self, and then how can they find their authentic self?
Okay, so let me try to do it this way. If you watch a room full of children playing,
right,
or coming together, whether it's 4, 5, or 10. You can look at the children and you can see that some of them like to be outwardly, or you know, like you say, this child loves the camera. They're always posing for the camera. Or you get a mic, they'll grab the mic. There'll be another child who will sit over in the corner and observe. There are certain things that we gravitate towards. Some have, like you and Eureka, have an ear for music. You love music. You gravitate towards music. Other people gravitate towards writing, or dancing, or doing something else. And then there's that time in your life where something sparks you, something, and you're like, that's what I want to do.
Right.
And so, in corporate America, when I used to mentor a lot of different folks, and people would ask me, well, how can I do this, or how can I, you know, get to the right place? I would ask them two questions. If you could do anything that you wanted to do, if tomorrow morning you could get up and do anything that you wanted to do for the day, for the week, for the month, what would that be? You know, ask, what are you really, really passionate about?
Right.
And when you can begin to list those things that you are passionate about, now I've also learned through other folks and coaches that you don't have to be passionate in a positive way. You could be somebody who's just really angry at police brutality. And every time you hear a story about police brutality, it just takes you over the edge.
Right.
That's an indication.
Right.
Speak to that issue that wants to be released to speak to that issue. And so again, what I was saying before, we spend too much time competing because most of us are chasing the dollar. We're trying to make a living. We're trying to have nice homes. We're trying to do all those things. But at the end of the day, Greg, the thing that's going to matter the most is the thing that you did with passion, the thing that you did with joy, the thing that you would do even if they didn't pay you.
Right.
That's your authentic self. And so
right.
you don't necessarily get paid for all 12 songs, but we know you love music.
Right.
And if we could take you somewhere and say for a year, we're gonna put you up, we're gonna put you in this luxurious place, we're gonna have pianos and we're gonna have all types of instruments and we're gonna have all types of mixing boards, and we just want you to do you, we wouldn't be able to get you out of there.
That's so true. I'm thinking about right now.
because you're doing you. You're doing what you love to do.
Right.
And too many of us put that on the back burner because either, you know, we have to work for a living, or are we even fearful of stepping out on faith, believing that we can do what we feel inside of us to do.
You said that very well. I had to drop the pen. If I had to drop this mic, drop the mic. It's a big mic. You say a lot. But you know, it's amazing. My friend Renee says, she said that's so true. And I have to say this, the way you said that, the way you said that story, I can really see it. Because, you know, I think if, for me, you guys are trying to help me to find my authentic self without coming out and saying that before, you know, a couple years ago. And when you said that illustration, I saw that, you know, I would say, let me sell everything. Let me go to that place where I had that piano, where I had that mixing board, and I'll be, I don't have to do anything else.
Yeah. Right.
And I just feel like that God wants us to be at that place where we're doing what we're passionate about.
Okay.
We're back.
You're back?
I was trying to call it.
I know, this came back. I'm like, what happened to them? They're frozen.
Right. Right.
Don't you know you guys are on a show? She's trying to call back, guys. But I got to say this. While they're answering that, they're going to be right back in 1 second. They are telling me was go with what you're passionate about. So that whole thing about being authentic, finding your authentic self, being your authentic self, is so true. It's so true. Because, you know, listen, guys, if you're in that place right now where you're just trying, you're trying to find out, what do I do? How do I get back there? You know, finding your authentic self, that thing that you're passionate about, that thing that you want to do each time you get up, each time you, I'm bringing them right back, guys. I'm bringing my cousins. Phone call will knock you off.
Okay.
They're back, guys. I told you that they're coming back.
Here we are.
They're back.
Sorry.
It's okay. Well, I was just telling them about, as far as like what you guys are saying about the authentic self, you are planting that seed in me, but I didn't even know it that you're planting that seed. And encouraging me to do that thing you're passionate about. You know, not just feel God wants us to do that thing that we're passionate about, and just to step out there and do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you have to at least try.
At least try, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, you've only failed if you don't try.
Right.
You have to try that thing that brings you that you want to get up in the morning to do, that thing that gets you up out of the bed. You know, you have to work towards that.
Mm.
I think okay.
I'm just talking about my wheels are turning. Wheels are turning right
now.
Yeah,
they really are. They're turning.
Like, I love that story. I love that story you just done, Dave. I want to go to that place. Bring me the pianos now. Bring me the pianos.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, what's going on? I got my other sister, Deborah, on the Bernard Jackson, Pastor DeMar, Bernard, came through. And I'm glad that our cousin Phil on here. We have our mothers listening. What are some words of wisdom that you'd like to leave with everyone tonight for those people who are going to listen to what you said and pray about finding their authentic self and what they're really passionate about? What would you like to say to them?
I would take them to one of my favorite books, Romans. I would take them to Romans 12. And I would tell them, you know, when you read the first two, we should offer them back to him. Because this is what the Lord is after. And then I take them right down to Romans 12 and 6.
All right.
And that's where we talk about we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us.
Mm.
If your gift is prophesied, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach.
Mm.
If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And we have to ask God to continue to allow us to use our gifts in the right place, at the right time, at the right moment, for His glory. And it's always about service to others. At
right.
the end of the day, God is looking for those who have a servant's heart.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
Not someone who's looking to enrich themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's the dark cloud over our world, over our country today, that too many folks are just faking something sinister. We're chasing the dollars for the wrong reasons.
Mm.
So we'll use your gifts in service to others and let God get the glory. And if God is getting the glory, we're going to be okay.
That's right.
Amen. Yes. I'm dropping all the pens. I am dropping all the pens. This
well, no, that's right.
I mean, wow. Now, guys, I get this. This is my family. You hear me? I get all this misery. I have like 3 pages. I have like 4 pages. I have to share this. My cousin Kevin says this. A person's passion is not him following his dream, not allowing anyone or anything to stand in the way of living it.
Yeah, I think he meant to say a person's passion is not only following his dream.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah
I think that's what he meant.
I think that's what he meant. I think that's what he meant to say, because a person's passion and a person's dream could be very much aligned.
Right.
So you want to go after him, but he's absolutely right that if you're going to go after it, you can't let anyone get in the way.
That's right.
And that's one of the things I try to underline in the book. We work as unto God, and there are always going to be, you know, detractors, disruptors, people trying to pull you off your path. But we got to stay true to God.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Lady Eureka, is there anything you want to say before we go?
Well, I just want to say, I think we went in a really great direction when we're talking about being our authentic self.
Yes.
And following our passions and doing those things that God has placed on the inside of us. And some people spend their whole lives trying to figure out what that thing is, because they think that it's something, you know, so grandiose, something where millions of people have to recognize them. And it's not always that. Like, I know that my mom was always seeking, you know, what are my gifts? What am I supposed to do? And the whole time she was walking in the ministry of health.
Right.
But she didn't know that as she was doing that, she was walking in her gift.
Right.
And so, you know, people would come and live with us and she'd take care of them. She's always raising somebody's child.
Right.
You know, she's in senior housing now, and she helps the people there.
Right.
But she didn't see that her whole life. That's
right.
What she has been finding our authentic selves. It's not always going to be this big grand thing that we think is going to be, where all these people are going to, you know, be patting us on the back. But we're making a difference in somebody's life.
Mm.
We're blessing somebody's life. We're using what we have, the blessings that we have, to be a blessing to somebody else.
So,
and that's when you know that you're walking in your gifts and God's being glorified.
Amen. You know, amen. You know, my friend Renee, she says this, because this, yes, your gift can be small in your eyes, but huge in the person it touches.
Rita said, you know, we may not have a worldly following, and we may not have, you know, millions and millions of likes, but what you do to an individual could mean the world to them.
Absolutely.
And that's what we have to keep in mind, you know. We, you know, again, you know, when you get me on, you know, bring out the preacher in me. the man who was beaten up and left for dead on the side of the road on his way to Jericho, some pastor.
Mm.
But it was that one Samaritan who took him up and put oil on him and took him to the inn, paid for him. And so to that one Samaritan, to he meant everything to him, and he was a despised Samaritan,
right,
who decided that I'm not going to pass this brother by. You know, I don't care if the church gave up on him. I don't care if the synagogue gave up on him. I don't care if the mosque or the Congress gave up on him.
Right.
So we help where we can.
That's right.
And again, we don't do it to write it in the Washington Post or the Star Ledger or any other magazine.
Right.
We do it because God is pulling us to do it.
Amen.
To help the least of them.
That's right.
Wow.
You did it to the least of them. You did it to
That's it right there. Our cousin Archbishop Anthony Jones is on. What's going on, cuz? And I have to say this. You have just blown me away as you normally do, as you guys normally do. You blow me away. I have a lot to think about tonight. And I'm sure you guys have a lot to think about. Yeah, praise God.
Oh, yeah. This was wonderful, Brad.
Yeah, we're going to definitely, next time, I'm going to have to be there in person so I can get this in person. I'm loving this, though.
Bless you, Archbishop Anthony. Bless you too, brother.
Yeah, you know, and I have to say this. The biggest thing that I got is, what are your takeaways? Those who are listening, please share this video on your pages, because I'm telling you, He is Sovereign Ministries is serving God. They are authentically worshiping and serving God and serving others and encouraging us to be our authentic selves.
That's right.
You know, so God can use our gifts for His glory, because we're all called for a purpose.
That's right.
And He's giving us spiritual oars for dark waters now. Come on.
Thanks so much.
Now, I got to say this.
The book is available right. on Amazon.com.
Yes, and where is it?
And the CD.
All right, now.
Yeah, Amazon.com. Well, Golf for Purpose, Spiritual Wars for Dark Waters. Golf for Purpose, yeah,
right,
Spiritual
right.
Wars for Dark Waters. Both available on Amazon.com. And I will give you an exclusive when...
I cannot wait.
When my singles drop.
Right.
You know I was about to say that, right?
Yeah.
Feel the land. Okay.
Yeah. Feel the land. That single should be coming out in the next 60 days or so.
I cannot wait.
All right.
Yes.
Hey, Ricky Staten. I used to work with Ricky. I see he's on there.
So, again, guys.
We're about to close now, right?
Yes, we're about to close. I know it's time for us to go to sleep, right? I know. Listen, I appreciate you guys for staying up, guys. Listen, guys, I'm glad you did. I know you're worn out.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming. God bless you guys. God bless you guys.
God bless you
too, Cuz. God bless you. God bless your ministry. Keep up
yeah.
the great work.
Thank you so much, Cuz Bro.
All right.
Love y'all.
Okay. All right.
Have a good night.
All right. Love you too.
All right. Good evening. And guys, I appreciate you guys for coming through tonight. Rick, we're about to close this up, but make sure that you go back and you share this video on your pages because they've given a lot of information, your authentic self. And I will see you guys next Tuesday at 9 p.m. God bless you guys.
God bless you.